And here we go. All right, what is going on, podcast friends? This is a lighting and breakdown. I'm going to be doing these cinematography breakdown series, like behind the scenes series for you guys. I'm uploading them to my YouTube channel as a private video. And all you need to do is send me an email, contact@davidlee.com. I'll put a link in the show notes as well, so that way you can just email me easily. Again, it's a free video, but kind of giving you a little short backstory, a brief story is, you know, YouTube is its own little beast. And what I want to do is I don't want to have these types of videos that are like long form, 20, 40 minutes out there just in the fighting for itself in the YouTube algorithm, right? Because YouTube algorithm changes so often. And so what I'm doing to kind of see and test to see if it's viable and if it's useful for people is to make them just private videos. You guys send me an email saying, hey, please send me the free breakdown video. I send you the link to the YouTube video, and that way you guys can just watch it, right? And it gives me a better idea of who actually wants to watch it, who doesn't want to watch it, right? And I would rather just have the people who want to watch it send in the private link and just keep things more organized, right? Keep things more managed. And then I know this is for a podcast, so you guys can't, you know, obviously watch, or you can watch the video if you want to. If you want, just send me a link and send me an email. I'll send you the link to the video. But what I'm doing is I'm also creating a separate page on my website at davidlee.com where you can download kind of like the tech location, or not the tech location, the location scout images, and then also the behind the scenes images, and also some PDF, or not PDFs, but some kind of like images that I'm putting into Photoshop and allowing the diagrams, creating like a short little diagram with colorful arrows about where my key light's coming from, where our fill is coming from, where our practical lights are coming from. So you guys can go to my website, www.atdavidlee.com. There's a section at the top called breakdown. You go there, and in chronological order is where I will have the cinematography breakdown behind the scenes episodes for you guys to download and just look at the images. All right, let's go ahead and get into the episode. Alrighty, I say that a lot, but that is just how things are. What's going on, friends? We are breaking down a commercial. What is this, actually? This is sort of like talking head infomercial type of videos. These are like short form, anywhere between 4 minutes to 8 minutes long for one of our clients. To kind of give you a high level breakdown. This was roughly a $5,000 project. It involved two separate days. We're only covering our day two shoot, and that includes everything from pre-production to the production to post-production, right? So about $5,000. I'm just rounding things off there. So what we are doing is this is the first one in our series. I'm just going to call them behind the scenes lighting breakdowns, right? This is something that you probably will be something that you will experience in your in your filmmaking career, right? You're shooting some kind of talking head thing, teleprompter set up, and maybe you're only working with one assistant, or you're working by yourself, right? Let's take a look at some of like the behind the scenes stuff really quick. So let's go actually. Where is my, here we go. All right. So what we're working with is, a Airbnb, right? This is in the city of Dana Point. And, we're shooting like nutritional videos, top 16 tips and things like that. Right. So, we had this kitchen, and the kitchen is where we thought would be the best place to shoot all these videos. We shot about 12 in about a half day, right? I think we were there from 7:30, and we wrapped around like 1:32 p.m., right? So about like a half day. And the best place to shoot was obviously in the kitchen to kind of help sell nutrition and health, right? And we also had a product called Prep Deck, so we needed to show that off as well too. And we figured, well, let's just shoot everything in the kitchen, right? And the thing with the kitchen, and the house in Dana Point was actually pretty small when it came to ceilings, right? So that was one thing that I didn't No, just because looking at these real estate photos, obviously when you shoot real estate, you're using like 12 millimeter lenses and 10 millimeter lenses, right? So everything looks really, really big. But the problem with the kitchen is, as you can see, we have these double windows here. And then opposite, I don't know if there is a good image. Yeah, so opposite is we have another window here. To behind us, right? Since we're shooting in this way, we have all of these windows, right? We have two windows here. We have a window here. We have double doors here. Another window over here. And then we have a window. This window here wasn't too much of an issue, but it was still, you know, there's still ambient lighting here. And the trouble was the day that we shot, there was a lot of broken sky for about a good half of the day, right? From like 8 a.m. to about 11 a.m., right? So that's a good chunk of the day that we were shooting. And the clouds, you know, broken sky is just clouds just going in and out, going in and out, going in and out. And with the lighting fixtures that I had, it just wasn't going to be able to create enough consistency with the shot. And since we had multiple things that we're shooting, right? Multiple pieces of content. So what do we do? And then what do we end up with? We have three examples I'm going to go over for you guys, right? So our first one is actually not this one. This will be the last one we go over. This is the prep deck product recipe video. But let's go with this first one. Okay, so this is kind of talking about breakfast. And the thing with, let's find a good frame, something like this. Okay, something like this. All right, so the thing with this one was we have this window. In order for me to have held that window, I would have needed to put at least four stops of ND during this specific time and day, right? So four stops of ND, but then everything else looks pretty, pretty dark. We had an aperture 120D. Let's go ahead and go over to that, right? So some of our behind the scenes is basically this is what I was working with, right? We're working with aperture 120D. We had some NAND light tubes, which really were just more for like wrapping lights around or wrapping our key light around our talent's face. I used one in the deep background for the salad shot as a practical. And then we had some of the small NAND light tubes just to kind of give hints of little backlights, right? Kind of little color depth cues. And so really the only lights that I had was just my 120D, right? And the thing with using the 120D is I have different modifiers. I didn't want to necessarily, let's go to this shot. So this is a frame grab from one of the scenes, right? I didn't want to use the light dome because the thing with the light dome is with the 120D, it doesn't go anything less than 10%, right? So it still looks very, very sourcey. And when it looks, when you have to bring up the aperture, the aperture 120D to usually anything above like 30%, it starts to look really, really sourcey, right? The mini dome, which I own also, would have done the same thing. Doesn't matter if I had the grid in front of it with the diffusion, it would have just looked too sourcey because that's what's happened to me in the past. So what do we do in order to keep this, right? In order to keep this, if we go back to our previous shot, I chose to, you know what, in this early stage of the day, let's just let the window go, right? I think I had, I only had about two stops of ND during this time. And I said, you know what, let's just let the window go. Let's let our broad and our overall exposure be correct. So that way it still looks pretty vibrant and still looks very, very colorful in a way, right? And so what do we do with that one? What I chose, which pretty much was this whole setup the entire day, 120D with the Fresnel, right? Full flood just to be able to hit our ultra bounce. This is a 4x4 of ultra bounce. I like ultra bounce because it can be very, very punchy, and it's great if you're using it for day exteriors, but even for day interiors, this will provide more punch, but it'll be less sourcey than if you were using like the light dome or the mini dome with the 120D, right? And if I had more room, I would have liked to have pushed this back, pushed our ultra bounce back, and then had enough, you know, about maybe like 4 feet to 5 feet distance between our 120D and the Ultra Bounce. But when I, if I did that, I wouldn't have been able to get proper exposure or skin tone IRE values for our talent. So I was forced to move everything closer in, right? Which is why you kind of see everything kind of smashed up. Parts of the day, we just use this to light our talent. And then the other half of the day, as things were starting to get more consistent with our clouds, with our weather, what I did was I threw up a 4x4 of quarter grid to help diffuse the light, to help it make to help our key light look less sourcey, right? So we're going key light, bouncing our key light, and then diffusing that key light, right? Basically a book light is what it's called. And I like quarter grid because it has a little bit of a warm tonality when light is being shown through it, at least if you have like a daylight balanced light. And so that is like our main key light setup, right? And so this is an example of that. So let's start with things that that I do like about this shot, right? The thing I do like about this shot is we have layers of light. And this is the whole premise behind everything that I have learned. And what I like is lighting in layers, right? So what I mean by that is you want to try your best to shoot like from light to dark to light, or from dark to light to dark, as long as you're creating depth cues and lighting, again, lighting in layers, right? So we have our key light here, our 120D. Again, it still looks a little sourcey. That's just because everything was so close to her and I didn't have enough room to make her face properly exposed. So again, it does look very sourcey here, right? You can see the ultra brown. It's kind of just shining here, right? Shining here. And then this shine, I didn't really like, but I figured, you know what? It was just the only way I could really wrap the light around here and also get more eye light in here. This is our nan light 2, which is this. Let's go for this guy here. All right, go for a different angle. So we have our nan light tube. I set this to about 5200 Kelvin, just a little bit warmer. And we have the grid in front of it, so that way the light doesn't start spreading everywhere, right? That's why you want to use grids a lot of the times, is so that way you can just direct the light. But the thing was, in order for me to actually even have the light be any kind of use, and what I would have liked to have done was, if I had some kind of like rigging option overhead, I would have done that and brought the nan light closer to her out of frame to help just wrap the light around her face and to also still get that catch light in her eyes, right? But since I didn't have that equipment, I'm left with this thing on her forehead, right? Which, again, as a cinematographer, you're nitpicking these things, and these are just learning experiences. But that's what I would have liked to have done. All right, and again, lighting. So we have. How can we create our layers? Right, we go from light to dark, back to light. Right, so we have our key light. Then it starts to kind of gradually fall off here. Right. Into this area here in the deep back kitchen, and then we have some reflectiveness coming from our window here, creating again layers, right? Going from light to dark to light. And again, light to dark to light doesn't have to necessarily mean this specific direction. It can mean any kind of direction where you can create depth, whether that be from light and then maybe it goes from dark and then back to light. That is just little things that you can learn and little things that I like to do, right? And as far as being able to create contrast. And then if we go here, so then, you know, we always don't want just light blasting everywhere. So we have our, I use acoustic blankets just because it kind of helps out with audio a little bit. And it's a way to create some natural neg fill. It can be a little bit reflective, which is a little bit of a pain, but not a big deal. This is like a 4x8 of acoustic blanket here, blocking off that light that we had behind it. And also allowing us to create some contrast here, right? So we have contrast on this side. So that way it's not flat. Whereas this shot here, in general, was actually a little flat. So what I did was, you know, just created a graduated filter in Resolve. Let me turn this off. right? So this is pretty much what the shot looked like, even with my naegtha on the side. Just wasn't enough. So what I did was we just create a little graduated filter here. And let me zoom this out. You can see it. Yeah. And a gradient filter, and softened it a little bit, kind of played around with it to create some more contrast, right? So this is with it off, and then this is with it on, right? It's just enough where, again, everything isn't looking flat, and we can help direct focus to what is most important here. And this is what the example of just having like two stops of ND and just letting the ambient exposure come in and out. What could I have done? Honestly, it was really just about the fixtures that we had, right? So I have some BTS here. Let me see if I can pull up. Yeah, here, right? So these windows back behind us, I was trying to play around with like closing some, opening some, and closing all of them and then opening up just like one or two of them. But the weather, right? The sun was just coming, the clouds were just going in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out, like every 5-10 minutes. And it for me, I wanted more of a consistent look as much as possible. So, you know, halfway through the day, I just said, you know what, screw it. Let's just block off everything, right? So we blocked off that. I think we didn't block off, but we closed this down. We closed this down. And then we closed all of these blinds down. And what I would have liked is if I had like a 4K HMI here. Again, not a lot of room, but if I had a 4K HMI going through some maybe half grid, just to kind of even out the exposure, levels for our kitchen scene, and then would have probably needed. So if you can imagine having like a 4K HMI going through. Going through like half grid, and then over here, right? If I had like a 2K, a 2K Fresnel or anything around that output, going through maybe quarter grid, or even just bouncing it off the ceiling, and then placing again either like quarter grid closer towards the kitchen area here. Let me see if I can find a good shot of, I don't have one here, but basically over here is like another pathway into the kitchen. If I had just quarter grid hanging right outside of frame, having that 2K Fresnel bouncing off of the ceiling or kind of just finessing it to kind of bring up our levels, then I would have been able to have kept this background, would have been able to lower the intensity of my 120D, so that way it doesn't look too punchy or too sourcey, to keep things nice and even and be able to create our layers of light. All right, so that is this example here of our breakfast scene, and then also this is another example of what we shot. This was about four stops of ND now. So four stops of ND, same setup, but you can see that it just looks, it looks good, right? It looks totally fine. I just wish it wasn't too sourcey on her face, but it was either underexpose her face or make her face look sourcey, right? And for me, I didn't want to underexpose her face and just make it look not very pleasing, okay? And then little hints here, right? So here, because you can really see our light to dark to light atmosphere, right? And just little hints of little pops of shapes, right? Glimmer glass helps out a lot just to kind of take off the digital and sharpness and everything. You can see the highlights starting to bloom here. And these graphite countertops are actually really cool because they were creating like blue cyan highlights. I didn't do that. It was just how it was just from the light hitting the window and then bouncing off of here. It was just creating these nice little pops of color. And then you can tell this is with the SLR Magic 25 millimeter APO. I love these lenses because, you know, spherical aberration is a great attribute of the of these lenses, right? This is on the FS7 with not a speed booster, just because with the speed booster, then the you start to see the teleprompter, right? We don't want that. So we just use a regular adapter, EF to E-mount, and nice spherical aberration here. Again, with the glimmer glass helping to bloom some highlights here and also suppress some of our highlights here, right? Then our last one we're talking about is our prep deck salad, right? So from here, this is a little bit more involved because I just didn't have a lot of the right amount of fixtures, lighting fixtures and lamps, right? And I'll show you what that means in a moment. So everything is the same here, right? Everything is exactly the same as we've been doing. Same setup with the 120D going into our Ultra Bounce King Her, right? So you know the whole story here, wrapping our light around with the Nan light, right? Just to kind of give her a little bit more of a, allowing the light to wrap around her face more and also giving her the catch light. What I added though was in the deep background here, just to kind of create some color contrast now, right, is I added a Nan light tube in the way there was like there were some cabinets here, and I just placed the Nan light on the cabinet, set it to like a cyan color, and this is only like 3 or 4% intensity, not too much, hitting the wall here again, just to kind of create some color contrast, making our scene look a little bit more interesting. But again, not too bright, right? You would have to really stare at this to be like, oh, like that's a different color, right? And that's the idea, is you don't want things to be so noticeable, right? You just want little hints in our cinematography, right? So we have a Nan light here. Everything is pretty much the same, but what I couldn't do, since I just didn't have enough grip equipment to do it, this area here, the prep deck, looked a little underexposed, and we were shooting multi-cam for this one. It just looked a little underexposed, but I didn't have, if I had like another C-stand with a boom arm and then having my other Nan light come down here, I would have been able to just, you know, spot our fruit and vegetables here a little bit more. So what I did was I had to add that in post. Right. So all this is was just using the pen tool, creating a mask around our fruit and vegetables, and then just increasing the exposure ever so slightly. Right. It's so unnoticeable, but that's what you want. You want it to be unnoticeable. Right. So this is with the off, and then this is with our power window on. Okay. And then the same thing with our counter here. It just looked a little under, but again, this counter is reflective. If I had another light, all right, if I had another light overhead, another tube light, a Nan light tube with a grid in front of it, probably with some diffusion wrapped over it as well too, I would have had this overhead and just shining this straight down as much as possible, trying not to allow the light to spill onto her, all right? So again, we just created another mask and then increased the exposure. This is with the mask off, and then this is with the mask on, all right? So off and on, right? It's so subtle, but it just adds a little bit more because we want to create more of a pleasing scene since we have so many variables here. And then this is with our B cam. This is with the GH5 on a SLR Magic 35mm hyper prime. This is one of the old ones, like Micro Four Thirds ones. And you can tell, right, if I zoom in a little bit, right, we got some chromatic aberration happening here, some purple fringing, but that's just because the lens is like, it's just an old lens, right? What did we do here? We created a little bit more contrast in scene, since again, this is the hard thing about shooting multiple cameras, is how do you light different things, but you have to shoot at the same time, okay? I wanted more contrast on camera right. So again, we just create another gradient filter. This is with it off, and then this is with it on, right? So it's just very, 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 very subtle. And then here, our flowers looked a little dead. So again, another gradient filter, softening it, and then this is with it off, and then this is with it on. All right, so off and on. Now, these are little tricks that you can do in post. I'm always a proponent of getting everything in camera as much as you can, because that way you stay committed to the image that you originally had intended to make, right? Not saying you can't do things in post-production, but it's better to get everything in camera so that way you spend less time fixing things in post-production, right? You shouldn't have to fix things if you can get it done right in the first place. So if I had that other Nanlite tube overhead, that would have taken care of the exposure over here, right? I probably would have still just added this little guy here just for contrast. Oh, sorry, just for contrast purposes, right? That's not a big deal, right? It's just so subtle, not a huge deal at all adding that. But having to add this other power window here for light, I would have just preferred to have a Nanlite tube overhead, with a grid in front of it and maybe some diffusion wrapped around it, just to bring up our overall exposure for our products here. And I think that does it. Let's just go back here. Yeah, so I think that does it, friends. We want to create layers of light. We want to create depth cues. We want to create color contrast if needed and if we can. And then we also want to not make our key light look too sourcey, look too punchy. But if you don't have the right tools for the job, you have to use what you got, right? We always say that use what you got. It may not be the best options, especially when it comes to lighting, right? Because lighting is more involved than camera. It always is. So if you don't have the best location, if you don't have the best tools, if you don't have the right tools, but you got some tools, you have to be able to know the strengths and weaknesses of those tools, and you have to be okay with the end result and then just shoot, right? Because I could have easily spent 20 minutes, right, trying to dial in, looks a little bit too under. Okay, now it looks a little bit too over. It looks a little bit too under. And then I would have tried to do something about this back window. It's like, okay, well, what if we try to put a power window here in post? Nah, it's gonna look too fake, right? It's just not gonna look realistic. Do I have any more lights? Can I push in some more light here? Oh, even over here, right? You can see our Ultramax is just really filling in this entire kitchen, and you can see it hitting here. So if I had like a topper, if I had a topper, right about here, just cutting off the bounce from our ultra bounce, then I would have been able to control all of this here, right? But at the end of the day, if you only have so much time, right, it's like, is this really, really going to matter? As a cinematographer, yes. As you know, for the client and for their audience, really not going to matter at all. But if we can make everything else look presentable and make it look like this was some high value production, then we have done our job as cinematographers and as filmmakers. Okay, cool. That is it. I will see you guys in the next episode. Not sure what the next one will be, but hopefully it'll be a little bit more less of this kind of stuff, right? As again, we're all going to be shooting these kinds of product shots and talking head teleprompter things. But I definitely do want to mix it up with things that look a little bit more more organic. Cool beans. I hope you guys enjoyed this breakdown episode. I plan to be doing more in the future as more projects come along. And hopefully just this whole COVID-19 thing just gets under control, man, in some way, shape, or form. But I would really appreciate if you guys can rate my podcast. Let me know if it's a 1-star or a 3-star or a 5-star. Subscribe to the podcast, again, if you feel like it's bringing you value. And again, this is pretty much grassroots, boots on the ground level implementation I'm doing. So if you wish to share the podcast, I would also appreciate that. That being said, stay safe, stay healthy, and I will see you guys in the next episode.